Towards the bottom of Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara quotes a topic from the last perek in Maseches Nida Perek Hatinoikes. The din is min haTorah that dam besulim is not considered dam hanida. That's a dam mako. Dam hanida is the dam that's not circulating in the body, that sits there in the lining of the Beis HaRechem. But mid the Rabbanon, over the generations they made gzeiris, until they finally made the gzeira that all dam besulim is metame the woman, asas the woman lebaila mid the Rabbanon. This Mishnah is before they made all of these gzeiris. So, the din was that that dam besulim is still not metame the isha. In the Mefarish on the Mishnayis, the Mishnah Achrayna, he points out that it could well be that this gzeira de rabbanon that was instituted at dam besulim asas lebaila could be that it's only asering lebaila, could be that it doesn't make her into an avatum. Says if you check in the Rambam seems that he only quotes it in Hilchas Isuri Bia. He doesn't seem to quote it in Hilchas Avos HaTuma. So it sounds like he holds the gzeira was only lebaila, not le tuma v'tara. Then the Gemara quotes the din. Yav halacha hoisik v'mitzvah potam mina mitzvah. And based on that din, hoisik v'mitzvah potam mina mitzvah, so we have the din chosen is potam mikriya shma the first four nights if lo yosa maisa, if he still didn't do the bir rishayna. Real hoisik v'mitzvah, the Gemara points out you have two psukim, so real hoisik v'mitzvah means if he's taka mitapel in the mitzvah, he's potam from the second mitzvah. Here he's not really being Isaac in the mitzvah. Here he's just Torah tired in the mitzvah. Here he's just nervous about what's going to be because he was never married before, and he knows he doesn't exactly know how to do the Bir Rishayin. So that's also called, based on the second additional pasuk, that's also a pchina of Isaac b'mitzvah potam and mitzvah. Yeah. Tosis has a kasha and perikat koines and pavakam and perikat koines. Tosis has a kasha. Hoisik b'mitzvah potam and mitzvah ela miato yishesh le mezuzah b'pischo. If a person has a mezuzah on his front door, and yesh lo tzitzis b'bigdo, so he's potam from doing mitzvahs all day long. He's mekayim the mitzvahs, so he's potam from any other mitzvahs. So Tosis answers, no, it doesn't say a mekayim mitzvah potam and mitzvah. It says hoisik b'mitzvah. If he has a mezuzah b'beiso, or he has tzitzis b'bigdo, he's not doing any hisaskus now at all. Sometimes you have the reverse. Sometimes you have a person is misasik in a mitzvah, and he's not doing any mitzvah. The Gemara in Sukkah has also talks about ha'isik b'mitzvah, potam and ha'mitzvah. So the Gemara there talks about moichrei sfinim, moichrei tcheles, moichrei tzitzis, people who own a Judaic shop. And they're selling tzitzis, and they're selling tefillah, and these kind of things. So they're potam in a mitzvah. So what's the mitzvah? What's the mitzvah that they're doing? The answer is they're not being mekayim any mitzvah. They're just being misasik. Hisaskus and the mitzvah, patas from other mitzvahs. Hisaskus, the mitzvah, patas from mitzvahs, even if you're not mekayim any mitzvah right now. And the other direction, if you are mekayim a mitzvah, you're not being misasik, it doesn't patam. Special din, hisaskus and mitzvah A, patas from mitzvah B.
We're talking about Kriyashma.
Yeah, Kriyashma by the chosen, because he has to. Yeah, probably
so
patas
so
from.
Concentrate.
Yeah, probably patas from tefillah also, right. But other Isaac the mitzvah were patas from actual mitzvahs, not just from Kriyashma.
And I think
The Gemara says, he's supposed to be touching the tefillin every so often based on the kalachayma from the tzitz, yeah. It says, v'hoya mitzchei tamid. Tamid means he shouldn't be Mesiach Das. So when the tzitz only has one shem Hashem, and the tefillin have so many more shemas. The Gemara says, you have to be mamashmish in the tefillin, just like you have to be mamashmish in the tzitz. Is that considered Isaskas of a mitzvah, he's busy touching the tefillin. Okay, it is. Well, what is it going to be putter from? He doesn't touch every couple of minutes. He touches the tefillin to make sure. He looks in the mirror to make sure that the tefillin are in the right place. But in between the checking, he doesn't have to keep on checking every second. In between, every 5 minutes or so, every 10 minutes or so, he checks to make sure that the tefillin is in the right place. In between, so with 9.5 minutes, he's not doing anything. Then he will be chayiv mitzvah.
If he wants to say Kriya Shema, he can do that. He's part of it, but if he feels that he can concentrate.
The Mishnah in Brochus has a machlokes satanoim. Do we allow a person to be machmir al atzmoi? The question being, do we say that it's mechzik yuharo? He's going to demonstrate that he is able to be mechavein, even though a normal person would be nervous. He's demonstrating he's a super frum. He can be mechavein even though he's going to be involved in a bir rishonah. So the tanoim have a machleik. It sounds like mikir adin, if you want to, you may. But the machleik is one of mechzik yuharo.
Nobody sees him. I mean,
he's not in shul.
Not in shul.
At home. Okay, sounds like they would all agree that it's mutar. Yeah, it's only a hashasha if you're going to do it in public. Mechzikir, if he's going to do it in public, the people will see. So you're going to see that it looks like he's showing off. Yeah. There is a ritva in the end of the second parak in Sukkah. But the Gemara there also talks about ha'isik b'mitzvah, patam and ha'mitzvah. There the Gemara talks about shluchim mitzvah p'turim min ha'sukkah. Shluchim mitzvah, on the way to do pinyin shvuim and on the way to go learn in the yeshiva or whatever, so they put them in asuka because oisik mitzvah put them in a mitzvah means if they're going to have to start looking, if they're traveling on the highways, if they're going to stop and look for a place where they're going to sleep overnight, it's going to throw off their trip. It's going to take longer. Because like this, they're going to go as far as they can go in one day and stop, go to sleep there, and then they're going to go next day as far as they can go and stop. Now they're going to have to start searching around for a sukkah. They don't have a sukkah in their backpack. They didn't bring a sukkah with them, and they don't know exactly how far they're going to go each day. So they don't know where they're going to find the sukkah. So the Mishnah gives that also as an example. Oisik mitzvah potam and mitzvah. So there, the Ritva has a chiddush. He says, Oisik mitzvah, potam and mitzvah, therefore, he's forbidden to be mafsik from the first mitzvah in order to perform the second mitzvah, because since he's potter, so the second mitzvah is treated like a dvar hoshus. So it's considered as if you're mafsik in the middle of the mitzvah in order to perform a dvar hoshus. So that's not right. Oisik mitzvah is not only potam and mitzvah, it's also the kaya mitzvah. This was the ritva that the Maharam Shik quoted to his Talmud. Maharam Shik was a Talmud of the Chasam Sefer, and they were all fighting reform in the early years of reform in Hungary. So one of the Talmidim of the Maharam Shik had a rabbinical position, and he was offered a Rabbanus in Eretz Yisrael, where there was no reform, and he didn't have to fight reform. He would just give shiurim and give drushes and paskin shailas and learn. And he was very excited about the opportunity. So he was packing up all the stuff ready to leave to Eretz Yisrael. So he sent a letter to the Maharam Shik for a blessing for the move. The Maharam Shik wrote him back that he thinks he's not allowed to leave. That when you learned in the yeshiva, when you learned by my yeshiva, we didn't have the right to pressure you to go into the rabbinate. Many of the Talmidim went into business, they didn't go into the rabbinate. But you volunteered and you were very successful. So you're oisik in the rabbinate in the sense that you're fighting reform. If you go to Eretz Yisrael, that's a different mitzvah. That's learning Torah, learning Torah, paskin and shailos. So he says, oisik b'mitzvah, potam and ha-mitzvah, and also l'kayim ha-mitzvah shniyah. Since you're successfully fighting reform, so you're not allowed to neglect that in order to perform a different mitzvah. And then he says, in miyodeya, it could well be that the one who will take over the rabbonis after you leave Teretz Yisrael will not be successful in fighting reform, and the whole kehillah may be lost to orthodoxy. And he writes a story which is only known from that one tshuva, It's not known from any other sources. That's what they say, that Chassam Sofer was born and brought up in Frankfurt, and then he learned under Rav Nosson Adler. Then Rav Nosson Adler left, so he left with him. He always stayed with Rav Nosson Adler. And then he always wanted to go back to Frankfurt, and it never turned out. So on one occasion, he was offered a rabbanus in Frankfurt, so he was ready to pack up and leave to go to Frankfurt. So when the Balabatim in Pressburg heard about it, they all came to the home of Chassam Sofer, and they were pleading with him, Rebbe, you shouldn't go, because who knows who's going to take over if you leave. It could well be that the new rabbi will not be successful in fighting reform, and the whole community will be lost to reform. So that's what the that's what the Maamshik wrote to the Talmud. So he quoted in the letter. He quoted this ritva in the end of the second parak in Sukkah. Isik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. This Chuvas Maamshik is known in recent years because there was a period of time that Rav Kook was the chief rabbi in Eretz Yisrael. He was negotiating by correspondence with Rav Chaim Oizer in Vilna that he should move to Eretz Yisrael and he should be appointed. He says he was the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, so he was going to get a bigger and a better title for the Rav Chaim Oizer. So he was going to be Reish Kol Bnei Agoilo. Rav Chaim Oizer will be Reish Kol Bnei Agoilo. And they had a salary and they had an apartment. Everything was all set up and Rav Chaim Oizer was ready to come. Eretz Yisrael. Then the last minute he backed out and he sent back a letter to Rav Kook, which is printed, where he refers to this Chuvas Maamshik. And he says the Rabbanim in town feel that it's necessary that he should stay there in town. Also to fight reform. They felt that his leadership was not like a normal rabbi. He was a super genius. And if he were to leave Vilna, they felt a lot of things would fall apart. So they felt that he was Oisik b'mitzvah, and he's potam in a mitzvah. He shouldn't do other mitzvahs. He should stick to the mitzvah that he's doing. So that's what the Gemara applies. The Gemara has the Shachbuchov Kumecho, how does it say? Belechtuchov Aderech, Ubishachbuchov Kumecho. So you have two drushes. One drusha, if a person is actually oisik b'mitzvah, potam in a mitzvah. One drasha that the chassan, who's Torah tirt in a mitzvah, is also considered with a little stretch based on the second additional pasuk, is also considered oisik b'mitzvah, potam in a mitzvah. There is a machlokes deran in the Tosfos about the details of oisik b'mitzvah, potam in a mitzvah. Tosfos claims that it's only applicable when it's a yevshe l'kayim shneim. He's involved physically in performing a mitzvah or selling tefillin, selling talesim or something. He's doing his saskas in a mitzvah, and he's unable to do the second mitzvah unless he'll be mapsik from the saskas in the first mitzvah. So just like you say, esei decha lo esei, if it's e efshe l'kayim shneim. So to over here, the din of dechia, that's how the Gemara says, the din of dechia only applies if it's e efshe l'kayim shneim. So here, ha'isik b'mitzvah, potah b'na mitzvah, is a p'china of d'chiyah. That it's d'oicha, d'chiyah, to do the other mitzvah. So this is also, it's only d'oicha, if it's the yevshe l'kayim shneim, if he can fulfill, same time that he has the mezuzah b'pischa, the same time he's wearing the tzitzis b'bigdo, he's able to fulfill another mitzvah, so it's yevshe l'kayim shneim, so then there's no exemption, there's no p'tur. And the Ran disagreed with Tosfos. He thinks that even if it's physically efshel l'kayim shneim by the fellow who has the mezuzah b'pischo and the tzitzis b'bigdo, is not being oisik b'mitzvah at all. There is no hisaskus at all. Just he's mekayim mitzvah. So that's not a p'tur. But whenever there is a hisaskus in a mitzvah, you potter from doing other mitzvahs, even if it is efshel l'kayim shneim. It's not a p'china of d'chuyah that you only apply d'chuyah when it's efshel l'kayim shneim. A person is being misasik in mitzvah so good, so he doesn't become obligated to do his saskas in another mitzvah. Not mechuyev. That's a detailed machlokes. The Rishonim quote that they used to have, Marachar Zeru has this, Talmidim used to travel to the yeshiva, so So whatever, wherever they lived, so it took a day and a half. So as they would be traveling on the highway, they wouldn't have to switch one highway, another highway. So they wouldn't daven, shachris, mincha, ma'ariv, they wouldn't daven the whole time that they were traveling. That's oisik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. The oisik in the mitzvah of going to learn in yeshiva, so the potter from the mitzvah of davening. It's interesting because we usually say oisik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah applies only to every other mitzvah except for Talmud Torah. If the person is busy learning, that fellow is going to sit and learn today, all day long. He's going to sit and learn. So then we're going to daven mincha. He doesn't want to daven mincha. He's sitting and learning. Then we're going to go listen to the Mikra Megillah. He's not going to listen to the Megillah. He's not going to do it tomorrow. He's going to sit and learn a whole day. He's not going to daven. No Matanis Lev Yoyin, no Shalach Manas, no Sudas Purim, nothing. So the Gemara says in the first Perek in Moed Katan, and it's a Yerushalmi also like that, Oisik b'mitzvah A, potter b'mitzvah B only applies if mitzvah A is some mitzvah other than Talmud Torah. But if it's Talmud Torah, then it doesn't potter from shar mitzvahs, because then it's going to turn out that he's loymit shalal manos la'asais. That's what the Yerushalmi says. The pashtus, what it means is, so Rav Soloveitchik said, I think the stipler basically writes the same. Pashtus, what it means is that if you're involved in mitzvah A, you potter from mitzvah B, they're different mitzvahs. So sort of as if there's a competition between all the mitzvahs. So if you're busy doing mitzvah, you don't have to do mitzvah. But all mitzvahs masiyos are considered an enhancement of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's not considered in competition with Talmud Torah, because since liman ater has to be loyman almanos lasos, so if it'll be mafsik in the middle of the learning in order to fulfill a mitzvah, it's not considered he was mafsik in the mitzvah A in order to perform mitzvah B, a different mitzvah. It's not a different mitzvah. He enhanced his mitzvah of Talmud Torah by doing a mitzvah. So it turned out he made it into loyman almanos lasos. He was learning Baba Kama, and he davened mincha. Mincha, ma'ariv, and mikra megillah is not in Baba Kama, but still, learning in general has to be loyman almanos lasos. So if the person is in the middle of learning, you can't say he's potter from Talmud. You can't say Talmud Torah potter from performing mitzvahs. That would be loyman shalom and aslasas.
Yeah. Let's say you're davening and you want to have in mind that Shir Sefer could be Yosei. Could you, like, let's say you're someone's learning and they just say, like, they have in their mind, okay, the Shir Sefer could be Yosei me in my davening. Would that be any different, or that would still be that they should daven?
The Shliat Tzibur can be Moitzi, yeah, there is such a din. The Gemara recommends, even though the Shliat Tzibur is going to say the Chazaras HaShatz, but the Bikiyim should really daven Tefillah B'lachash. So we still recommend that he should daven, yeah, I would think so. So even though we say that Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah doesn't pater from other mitzvahs, but the mitzvah of going to the yeshiva is not, apparently, it's not identical with the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So the mitzvah of traveling to the yeshiva to get there on time, to the Tchilas Hazman, that does potter from David. So when the Bochum used to be on their way to arrive in the yeshiva, they wouldn't daven. The whole time they would be traveling, they wouldn't daven. That would be considered Oisik b'mitzvah. Or let's say the Gemara has Oilach l'hakbal p'nei rabba b'regel, Mishnah in the Gemara in Sukkot. Talmidim go to visit the Rebbe on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. Oilach l'hakbal p'nei rabba b'regel is a mitzvah. So that's to be mechabit Talmid Chacham. That's not the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's to be mechabit Talmid Chacham. So the Gemara says they're p'turim min ha-sukkah. They're potter from another mitzvah. Talmud Torah doesn't potter from other mitzvahs, but l'hakbal p'nei rabba, I have to travel through the yeshiva. This apparently is a different independent mitzvah. So that does potter min ha-mitzvah. It's interesting.
Really,
how come every time a person doesn't go to perform a mitzvah, how come he's not potter from tefillah and from all these other mitzvahs? Or is he? For example, guy goes on a date, so he should be potter from davening. He's doing a mitzvah, he has to get married. Yeah, but the fellow who's selling the tefillin and mezuzahs is also, he's not mekayem any mitzvah, but that's That's really saskus and a mitzvah. He's being misasik in a mitzvah. I don't know. That's a good question. Mistama, if the girl would be upset if she sees that he's going to daven, Mistama, it's not the girl for him. I guess so.
Also, isn't most cases of that like after the time
share anyway? You know, you arrange the date in such a way. It's not going to be an all-day date. It's not going to be 24 hours. It's going to be 3-4 hours.
It's actually
a
kind of shame also for the
family
we were traveling.
They
could stop
the Mystica.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, why can't they just dive in on as the car is moving or whatever? You know,
I don't know. I think they're talking that they're walking. I think they mean that they're walking. I think so. I'm not sure. It is unclear. It's a tshuva in the Maharaj as well. It is unclear what he's driving at. But he writes that was the common practice, that they wouldn't dive in when they were traveling to get to the yeshiva. Yeah. The Gemara in Zayin Amud Aleph has a din. It's based on the Gemara later. There is a machlokes from Meir and Achachomim. We paskan like Rav Meir's there. Also lo v'alishto, also lahashis is ishto shachas b'loi ksuba. If the wife, let's say under the chuppah, he gave his wife a ksuba, then she lost it. So the din is they're not allowed to live together if she doesn't have the ksuba. The reason for the ksuba shleite kala b'yenef loitziya. So it could be that the kala doesn't realize that the husband can't dump her anyway, even if she doesn't have the document of the ksuba. Ksuba is a tanai bezin. So he can't say that I'm not mechuyev. He can say I paid already. So she really doesn't even have to have the text of the ksuba. But the Gemara says many of the women don't know, they're not bikiyim in halacha. So they may think that they're not going to collect the ksuba. They may have to give in to every whim of the husband if she loses the ksuba. So they made a din with the rabbanon that he's not allowed to live with his wife. Also, lahashas shachas, this ishto shachas below ksuba. So how do you solve it? So you give her another ksuba. You write ishto ekstar ksuba diyurkasa. The Gemara says, you know, the Gemara says in the end of Bava Basra, it's not proper to write two shtoris on the same chayv, because the person will be able to collect the chayv twice. She'll go to one bezin and say that the husband divorced her and he never paid ksuba. Then she'll go to another bezin who doesn't know that she already collected the ksuba by the first bezin. She'll produce the second ksuba. Each time she produces a ksuba, she'll be able to collect. So the Gemara says it's not a smart thing to write two shtoris on the same chayv, because then the person can collect twice. If the wife claims that she lost the ksuba, the husband has no brera. Maybe she's lying, but he has no choice. So she has him over a barrel. He wants to be baal ishta. She says, "I lost the ksuba. They can't be baal now." So he has to give her shtar ksuba dir kasa. So we hope that since it says this is a replacement ksuba, because the wife claims that she lost the ksuba, and it's also lahashdas, also lahashda is ishta shachas b'lo ksuba. We hope that it'll become known that she's collecting twice, that she won't be able to cheat him. So the Gemara has over here, what if it'll be on Shabbos or Yom Tov, and the girl realizes that she lost her ksuba. So you can't write another ksuba on Shabbos. Gemara says, at v'suah metalfalim, you give her some jewelry that's worth a fortune of money that has the value. It'll be a mashkin on the whole value of the ksuba. So that'll solve the problem also. Either you give another shtar ksuba, a ksuba diirkasa, or you give atfesua metaltalim. Yeah. How can you do atfesua metaltalim on Shabbos a Yom Tov? That's not a problem of mekach u'memkar. It's not a problem of mekach u'memkar. So the Rishonim say, the Gemara, the Mishnah says in Sukkah, Rabbi Kiva with Rabbi Gamliel, with Rabbi Lozman, as I were traveling on a boat in the Mediterranean to get to Rome, and then they were traveling back. And then Rabbi Gamliel was the chief rabbi, so he was rich. Apparently the chief rabbis are traditionally very rich. They get money for city kedushin, I guess, whatever. So he was able, he could afford to buy the dalamina for a fortune of money. And then he was makna, they were stuck on sukkahs on the boat. So he was makna had dalad minim to each one of the other tanoim. So the Rishonim ask Kakasha, what happened to the Isser of Mekach u'Memkar? So the Vahag answers that for Mokka Mitzvah we are Mekel on this Isser of Mekach u'Memkar. It's Xavier Shem Yichto. So for Mokka Mitzvah we assume that the Mitzvah will be Megan will protect the person that he won't sin, he won't make a mistake. The same thing the Gemara says in the beginning of the second Perek in Beitzah, if a person forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin, so not only is he not allowed to cook his food, he has a house full of raw food, he's not allowed to have anybody else cook the food for him either. So what does he do? He's going to have to fast on Yontif. So the Gemara says, no, let him be makne kimchai la'acherim, whatever raw food, the raw chickens and raw flour, let him be makne all the stuff to somebody who did make an Erev Tavshilin. And they'll be allowed to cook the food because it belongs to them. So how does the Gemara say Machne Kimcha Lacher Man Yonta? What happened to the prohibition of Mekach HaMemka? So that's where the Bahag develops this idea. And the Mordechai quotes the Bahag there, that since it's B'maka Mitzvah, in order that he should have food for Shabbos that'll be cooked, so we are not afraid that they'll make a mistake. The whole Mekach HaMemka is a Gzeir Shem HaYichtov. So we say he's performing a mitzvah, so the kiyum mitzvah will be megan on him, that he won't make a mistake. It's also, I guess, it's also a mitzvah to do. He wanted to do be a rishayna, so to do be a rishayna is a bila mitzvah. So the makam be a rishayna, we would be matir the mekach hamemka, but for suah metaltal.
What about other? Like, let's say they were married for 5 years, and then for some problems that happens.
That would be a problem. Yeah. I don't know if that's a mitzvah. Oinik Shabbos is such a big mitzvah that he has to have tashmish every Shabbos. I don't know. Maybe it's only b'makom bias mitzvah. Could be. The Gemara's case is talking, I think, live up the teal of the Shabbos. To do first the beer rishonah.
It's something for a rabuja, maybe, no? I mean, like beer rishonah, some people say you can't even have for a rabuja.
Right.
So, if anything, the other times it might be more towards for a rabuja.
Could be. I don't know. We should look in Shulchan Aruch. What does it say? I don't remember.
Is there in the Mishnahs and Beit Zav that giving gifts in Yom Tov was enthusiastic?
Right. Right, the Rishonim asked, the Mishnah talks about giving matonis when you visit someone on Yom Tov, you come with a box of chocolates or a bunch of flowers or some kind of food. So why isn't that a violation of Mekach HaMemka? Some Rishonim the Meiri quotes such an opinion that matas metaltlim miyat liyad, they never were goyza. That's an interesting shita, because in karka you always record it, and in metaltlim you don't have to record it. So if it's matas metaltlim, that's chal right away miyad liyad. If you're going to make a kinya chalip in a makn to a sefer that I have at home and I didn't bring it in today, so then there's a gzeir shem yichtav, we may record it, that we should remember that I was makna to you, I didn't give it yet. If I hand it over, miyad liyad, and it's only metalplim, it's not karka, that karka you always, the minigo ilam always is that karka, you always put a record, the government keeps a record on karka. So some shanim say that makna is metalplim, miyad liyad, there's no gzeir. Others disagree, the Magen Avraham, disagrees. Magen Avraham Hilcha Shabbos raises the possibility to give him matana on Shabbos should be forbidden. So what's with that Mishnah in Beitzah? So he assumes that that's Mishum Simchas Yantif. That when you're going to visit someone, so you bring about more Simchas Yantif if you give them a gift. So it's also considered a Makam Mitzvah.
According to this, you shouldn't be a Choshish for
making this Eretz
on Shabbos because
he's not going to write a ksuba because it's a Makom Mitzvah. We spoke about it yesterday. That what? That what?
That when we say that you can't make
Kiddushin
on Shabbos
because he... Yeah, the Mishnah says, Ein Mekatshin. You're not allowed to be Mekatshin Isha on Shabbos or Yontov, right.
So why isn't that?
One should say that that's also a Makom Mitzvah, right. So the Rabbi Natan, in the end of Beitzah, the Gemara asks on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that these are things that they said, and there's no mitzvah involved. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean there's no mitzvah? There's a mitzvah to get married and raise a family. Why is it not a mitzvah? Gemara says, no, the guy already has another wife. He already has Yeshli Isha Bonim. This is an extra wife. So the Rabbi Natan interprets in the Gemara. So Rashi learns the Gemara's kasha was, why does the Mishnah record this prohibition? There are three parts to the Mishnah. Why does the Mishnah mention this in the category of things that said Dvar Hoshus? Should it mention that despite the fact that it's a mitzvah, you're not allowed to do it? The That's how Rashi learns. Just a kasha, a technical tasha. Why is it in this part of the Mishnah? It should be in a different part of the Mishnah. Rabbeinu Tam learns that Gemara's kasha was a kasha and din. Why is it also to get married on Shabbos? It should be mutter to get married on Shabbos, because Makom Mitzvah is mutter. So Rabbeinu Tam learns in the Gemara that the answer to Taki is mutter to get married on Shabbos. A normal boy getting married for the first time, Ein lo isha banim, is Taki allowed to get married on Shabbos, because it's Makom Mitzvah, so there's no gzeir. That's the Rabbeinu Tam Shita. So the Ramah relied on that once. There was a famous incident. A girl was a Yisayma, and she was supposed to get married on a Friday afternoon, and then she didn't have so much of a nadat because her father wasn't alive. So the chosim was backing out from the shidduch, because the girl's family wasn't able to give that much money to support them. So they were tumbling until they calmed everybody down and they agreed that they're going to go through with the shidduch. And then it was already Leil Shabbos. It was already late. It was winter Leil Shabbos. So the Ramah was mekel to be Masada Kedusha. So he writes in his tshuva, and he writes in the Ramah and the Orech Chaim Hilcha Shabbos, that it was Bein Hashmashes, and he was mekel because Bein Hashmashes called Dovishim Yishum Shvus LeGozer Ala Bein Hashmashes. Only Agzera the Rabbanon that you're not allowed to do Mekach Memka B'Shabbos. So Bein Hashmashes, but Makom Mitzvah we would be mekel. That's what the Ramah writes. Others say they were there. What kind of Bein Hashmashes? It was the sky was full of stars. It was Vaday Tzeisa Kacham. The Ramah didn't. And the Ramah was telling everybody it's only Bein Hashmashes. But the Ramah knew that it was well into the night. It was Tzeisa Kacham. B'shas Hatchaki can rely on the Shitas Hayochid. In this case, the Rabbeinu Tam. G'dayi Rabbeinu Tam this Mechola B'shas Hatchak. That if it's Ein Leishat Banim, it's a normal case. Boy's getting married for the first time, so the Makom Mitzvah, you're allowed to get married on Shabbos. Yeah?
The other two explanations that you showed him was that it was the era of Shabbos, and then after at the Kesupa, some of you showed him said it was not just the health in the era of Shabbos.
Ah, So there's no problem, Abbeke Chamem Kabbi Shabbos. Okay, good.
That
what?
He's
never maknet her. Okay. So he never did a mekach hamemka. Okay. So the Gemara had a whole discussion that went on over a daf Gemara where this mutar livol psula b'tchila b'shabbos. The maskana was that it's mutar. So now the Gemara says a ma'aser shaya that it was on Yom Tov. Gemara says muta livo psula betchila be Yom Tov. So Gemara is not sure was it the ma'aser shaya kachaya that it was be Yom Tov. But mikra din this Amora would have said the same on Shabbos. And maybe there's room to argue and say no, that what malacha is involved when you boil the psula? The malacha probably the malacha of chabura. The tilis nisham. So you're allowed to shech chickens on yantiv. You're allowed to shech behemoths on yantiv. You're permitted to do melech ha'sarach ha'nefesh on yantiv. If it's l'tzarach ha'nefesh here, maybe this is called l'tzarach ha'yam k'sas. Maybe this is mitoch. Mitoch, since the tilis nisham is muta, each melech has to be judged individually. Is this melech ever muta b'mok ha'moch ha'nefesh? So then not only would it be muta b'mok ha'moch ha'nefesh, it would be muta. That's the machlokes b'shama and b'sil. What did he say? Mitoch shehutra l'tzarach ha'chanav shehutra nam b'shalo l'tzarach al nefesh. As long as the tzarach ha'yam k'sas, so you don't say mitoch. Yet where is this machlokes? So that's in the first parak and date. So there's a machlokes b'shama and b'sil. Whether you're allowed to carry motzim esatinek v'esalula v'esasefer Torah. So b'sil say motzim and b'shama say ein motzim. So the Tosfos quotes the first pshat, the Rabbeinu Hananus pshat, that the tinuk, you're allowed to carry the tinuk lamuloi. It's a mila bismana on yantiv. So they're carrying the tinuk to the bris on yantiv. There's no erev, so they're allowed to carry him to the bris. And the lulav lotzisbo, he's carrying the lulav to shul because he wants to do nanuim in the middle of halal, according to the takanas chachamim. He can't do it at home. He wants to halal and shul. And he's carrying the sefer Torah, likrisbo. But if it's not the tzarech mitzvah, then Bisila would never say that mitoich allows you to do chilol yantiv Shalot Tzarch Mitzvah. What is that based on? That Pesilul only said, Mitoich that any given malacha is muta for Echol Nefesh purposes, so it's even muta, Tzarch a mitzvah, any other mitzvah. So the Moshe Sokolovsky was the head of the yeshiva in Brisk. He was a talmud of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So his second sefer, the Imri Moshe, is very heavy Brisk, very heavy with terminology from Brisk. But his first sefer was before he learned Rav Chaim, Meleches Yontif. Meleches Yontif is a cheerful sefer, not heavy duty artillery. So he quotes the Pnei Yeshua, and quotes Megin Shlomo, he quotes this one, that one, the other. He quotes as a whole sefer, what everybody under the sun has to say about Echol Nefesh, and Dovah Shavu L'Chol Nefesh, all these topics. So in that sefer, he explains shita by shita. He explains the first shita. Why does Rabbeinu Hananel think that Beisilul only allow mitoch shehutra any given malacha l'tzorech Echol Nefesh, shehutra nami l'tzorech mitzvah? So he says, it could be understood based on the Yireyim, who says that the Shita is Beis Hillel, is based on the Pesach, Acha sheyochel l'chol nefesh. What do you mean, yeyochel l'chol nefesh? Food is eaten by the body, by the guf. The food is not eaten by the soul. Nefesh usually implies the soul. So the Yireyim says, that's what it means, l'chol nefesh, tzorche ha-nefesh, that you're not only permitted to do a malocha, l'tzorech oichel ha-guf, you're permitted to do malach of tzarech mitzvah as well. But it's only the tzarech mitzvah because of the word nefesh. Other Rishonim disagree. Rashi Shita. Rashi disagrees and he says, no, that you're allowed to do malach of shalot of tzarech klal. Min HaTorah, you take the list of the lamates of his malachas. And any malacha that's ever muta, the tzarech ochal nefesh, you simply cross it off on the list and it doesn't apply on Yontif. So the whole list of malachas is going to be much shorter on Yontif than it will be on Shabbos. Tosis finds that too hard to believe, that min HaTorah you say mitoch shehutra any given malacha letzorech oichal nefesh yuchtanami shalo letzorech klal, that the whole malacha doesn't exist on Yontif, seems to be against all the Gemaras. So the Pnei Yeshua quotes the Megin Shlomit to try to defend Rashi. More lakashas of Tosis. Tosis alpi pashtus as an in-between sheet, not like all the way like Rashi. They say mitoch shehutra l'tzorech ochal nefesh hutanami legamrei hutanami afilu shelo l'tzorech klal. And they're not so restrictive like the Rabbeinu Hananel. It's only b'makom mitzvah. So they say, if you have tzorech hayom k'tzas, if you have any tzorech hayom k'tzas, then it's also muta. So what is that based on? According to Rashi's pshat, what is it based on? That's how this Hillel understood the Pshat and the Pasuk in Chumash. Acha sheyach l'chol nefesh, any melacha that ever can be done l'tzarech ochal nefesh is mutter, hu levad yaseh lachem. So that melacha doesn't belong on the list on Yontif. That's how this Hillel understood the Pshat and the Pasuk. Any melacha that's ever going to be mutter l'tzarech ochal nefesh means that it's crossed off on the list, and the list is shorter on Yontif. But if we say like Tosfos, that it only means that the tzorach hayom k'tzas is muta. So where is the mocker for this? Where is the mashmos that only the tzorach hayom So the Ravid quoted by the Shita Mukubet says, and Dav Zayin comes up with a mocker based on the Gemara in the end of Maseches Beitza. The Gemara in the end of Beitza is talking about Machshir Echol Nefesh. What's the taste Machshir Echol Nefesh? A person has a fork and a knife that he usually uses when he eats his meat. And on Yontif, somehow, fork and a knife got twisted and it's all out of shape and he can't use it. So the question is he allowed to straighten out the fork and the knife to do tikkun mana, a real malacha, misakan mana, that the fork and the knife will be able to be used? Why is that called Machshirei Oichal Nefesh? So Poshe Pshat Machshirei Oichal Nefesh, Poshe Pshat usually people usually say incorrectly, Machshirei Oichal Nefesh means if the Chefta Shel HaMalacha is something other than the food itself. When you're cooking the food, in the pot on the fire, that's, or when you carry the food to have a picnic in the park, the cheftz of the malacha is the food. When you're fixing the broken fork or the broken knife, the cheftz shel malacha is something other than the food itself. And that's a machlokes hatanoim. That's called machshirei oichal nefesh. Just like Tanoim had a machlokes in the opening Mishnah in Shabbos, Perek Ablezer de Milo, where the machshirei Milo, Deicha Shabbos, the actual bris Milo itself is Deicha Shabbos. Milo Bizman is Deicha Shabbos. What about to carry the knife to where the bris is going to take place, or to fix the knife, to manufacture a knife? So that's the cheftz shel malacha, something other than the bris milah itself. So that's a machlokes hatanoim. So here, there's a beferish gemara that says that's not the definition. Gemara says, let's say I have to shecht a behema or a chicken on yontif, and the knife that I usually use for shechita is in a different location and there's no erev. So the Gemara says, no problem. You can carry the knife from that location to this location, and you shecht the behema. And it's not totally in any machlokes hatanoim. It looks like it's mutar l'chol hades. It doesn't have to do with mitoich, and it doesn't have to do with machshirin. Sounds like it's echol nefesh mamish. Why is that? Because when you carry the knife from one location to the other, it's only for the purpose of doing the shechita here. So that's going to lead up to the shechita, so that's called mamash echol nefesh. He's not going to use it, he's not going to continue to use the knife over here later on. On yontif, he has to shecht over here. After yontif, wants the knife back in the other place. So the whole haitzor that he did on yontif is only for the purpose of doing the shechita on yontif. Let's say one would be able to manufacture knives that could be used, disposable knives. Then you manufacture a fork or a knife and use it once, then you throw it out. So the Rishonim seem to assume, there's a Ramban, a Mechamas on Beitza, has like this. He points out this Gemara, you're allowed to carry the knife. He says, it's Echol Nefesh Mamish. So it sounds from the Ramban, if you would be able to manufacture disposable forks and knives, you'd be Mesakin Monet to make a knife, to make a fork, to use it once, then throw it out. That would be Echol Nefesh Mamish, L'chol HaDeis. There wouldn't be Machshirei Echol Nefesh. When is it Machshirei? Or, let's say like this, have a knife, and the knife is very dull, because I just used it to shecht a big bull, and it got out of shape. So then I'm going to straighten out the knife, and it'll only be useful once to shecht one more bull, then I'm going to have to sharpen it again, I'm going to have to straighten it out again. So the tikkun mona, the mesakeh mona, is only going to lead up to this shechita on yontif. That's not called machshir echol nefesh, that's echol nefesh mamash. Like carrying the knife is going to lead up to shechting this bein. That's echol nefesh mamash. When is it machshirei? The knife and the fork are twisted, and he's going to straighten it out, and it's going to last for a couple of weeks till it's going to get twisted again a second time. So when he did the malocha of mesakeh mona, of straightening out the fork and the knife, it's not only leading up to the echol nefesh on yontif. He's going to use the fork and the knife for another couple of weeks till it's going to get sidreit again. So it's machshirei echol nefesh because it leads up to the echol nefesh, but it also leads up to hishtamshus b'chol. So that's a machlokes hatanoim. What's the nekudas hamachlokes? What's the source? So the Gemara says Reb Yehuda thinks that machshirei echol nefesh is mutter based on the pasuk. So since it says lachem, so lachem has the connotation of lachem lechol tzarcheichem, to take care of any of your needs. You're allowed to do malach on yontif even to take care of any needs. So that has the connotation of being more matir. Echol nefesh is to shecht the animal and to fix the broken knife and the broken fork to eat it. That's included in the heter lachem. So then the Gemara says, Aliba the Reb Yehuda, the Chachamim disagree, they hold not so. They hold no heter and machshir echol nefesh. Reb Yehuda holds from this heter of lachem lechol tzarcheichem. But if you have the heter, if you're using the heter lachem lechol tzarcheichem from the machshirin to fix the broken fork and knife, then it has a restriction. Hu levado. When you're using lachem as a kula, it has to be restricted with levado. It's only mutter if it was eif shalasas mebodyom. If he had enough time on Erev Yontif to fix the broken knife and the fork, and he didn't bother to do it, then there's no heter. So the, and how do we paskin? So that's a machlekes. The Gemara would appear that we really paskin like Reb Yehuda, but it's halacha ve'emarim came. We shouldn't be mefarsamit. because people are going to take Yom Tov very lightly if he'll even permit people to fix broken knives and broken forks. It's not a smart idea to be mefarsim. So mikra din we paskin is muta halacha ve'emar ken. Shouldn't publicize this heta. So the Shitim Kubetzes quotes the Pirush HaRaivin here, that that's what Mitoicha is based on. Where did Basilil get their idea from, that not only are you permitted to do Havara, Letzorcha Ochal Nefesh, even Letzorcha Yom Tzas is also Mutter, they got it from the word, Lochem Chem Lochol Tzarchechem. Not only Ochal Nefesh Mamish, see the Mishnah has the example, the fellow's carrying the Tinoik, so the Rabbi Nechanan learned Tinuk Lamulo, and Taisa said, no, even Tinuk L'tayel. So what's wise and mutter Tinuk L'tayel? Because Lachem L'chol Tzarchechem. He couldn't have carried the Tinuk on Erev Yom Tov. He did. He takes the Tinuk for a walk in the park every day. The Tinuk should get fresh air. He should have taken the Tinuk for 2 hours on Erev Yom Tov instead of 1 hour. He should take the Tinuk for 2 hours tomorrow on Chol Hamoed. He takes the Tinuk for a walk in the park every day. So he needs every day for the fresh air, for the good health of the baby. You can't say it's Efshalasas Modyam. You should have done the Malachas some other time. That's the way you raise Tinoikas. You give them fresh air every day. So that's called the Efshalasas Modyam. So the Raivin has this fantastic Kiddush that when you have Letzorach Hayom Ksas, let's say a person carries a Talis Tushul on Yom Tov. So it's only permissible if it was E.F. Shalasas Mabod Yom. If he could have easily carried the talis to Shul, what does he do on Shabbos? He doesn't carry the talis. There's no Erev, obviously. What does he do on Shabbos? He wears the talis. Or he carries the talis to Shul on Erev Shabbos when he goes to Shul. So however he solved his problem on Shabbos, he should solve the problem on Yom Tov also. The only permit you, Tinuk L'tayel. The Tinuk, what? You should leave the Tinuk in the sleeping in the park? Tinuk has to sleep in his bedroom, in his crib. Then you take him for a walk in the park. Or the lulav. The lulav, the first thing in the morning, when you wake up in the sukkah, you want to bench esrog. Then you want to take the esrog and the lulav to shul, to do nanuim in the middle of halam. So it's yep shalasas modyam. You can't say he should have arranged it. You should have left the lulav and the esrog in shul on Erev Yom Tov. No, he wants the Mishnah Berurah, says the Chassidim Anshei Ma'aseh. First thing they do, they wake up in the morning, they bench esrog in the sukkah. Right. Yeah, but it's not Ochel Nefesh. It has nothing to do with eating food. So it's based on Bezhilos Kula Mitoich.
But it's different than the knife and the fork, which in itself is no mitzvah.
Yeah. So still, the Ravid quoted by the Shitim Kubetzes thinks that the heter of Mitoich Abisil is based on Lachem, Lachol Tzarchechem, and whenever you're relying on Lachem as a leniency, then it has to be restricted with Levadoi. Levadoi means only if it's Yev Shalasas Mabodyom. So if you could have easily left the Talis and Shul on Erev Yom Tov, you didn't bother to, then he holds his no head that he carried the Talis and Shul.
Takes over, it's stronger than that.
So you're not
supposed to
say, you leave your lulav in shul. I mean,
you want to make a boomerang.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes that from the Arizal. So by the Hasidim in Borough Park, they all sleep in the house. And then on sukkahs, and then when they wake up in the morning, they run to the sukkah, the bench esrog in the sukkah. So the Mishnah Berurah and the Mishnah Berurah writes, he doesn't think that's what it means. He thinks the Pashup Shat means that the guy's sleeping in the sukkah. So the first thing when he wakes up in the morning, he washes in Tilus Adayim, and he benches esrog the first thing in the morning in the sukkah. Of course he's in the sukkah. And the Dalmidim is in the sukkah also. Doesn't mean that he sleeps in the house and then he goes to the sukkah, the bench esrog. But that's what they do by the Hasidim. To have a long pause. I remember once I was in Baba Shtibel on Sukkot. There was a long pause in between Shachris and Hallel for 2 hours. Everybody goes to the Sukkot, the bench Esrig, on the Red is Esrig. In between Shachris and Hallel. And then 2 hours later, they say Hallel. And then they say Kaddish Tiskabel on the Shachris that they finished 2.5 hours earlier. Different minhagim. So the Mishnah Brura thinks that that's not what it means. He thinks that when the Arizal meant to say was if you're sleeping in the sukkah, so the first thing when you wake up, you're ben chesed in the sukkah. No, I wasn't davening there. I was staying with my parents, and we were visiting the different shuls to see what the minhagim of Borough Park are.
I don't know how many of them. We never had them to make sure since the bench at home.
Okay.
You have on anybody? I don't know. We keep it in water.
Okay, some people want to keep it in water. You can keep it in water and shul also. Yeah. Keep in water and shul too. I don't know. Yes, yeah, so this Ravid is not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramon Shulchan Aruch is beferish not so. That you're allowed to carry the talis to shul on yontav even if it was Epshalas as Mabod Yom. But the question is, what in the world is that based on? Yeah. So again, so there's a machlekes b'sham and b'sil in the first parak in Beitza, whether motzim atinaik v'sa lulav v'sa sefer Torah. So that's the original machlokes Bisham and Bisil. So Tosis quotes there was a havamina there in Masachas Beitza that the nekudas machlokes between Bisham and Bisil is not regarding mitoch. There never was such machlokes. Machlokes is whether Hoitzah is on the list of malachas that are aser on Yontav. Maybe Hoitzah is only aser on Shabbos. Maybe basically there are only 38 malachas and Hoitzah, the 39th malacha only on Shabbos. And on Yontav Hoitzah is mutter, because the pasuk agrees, Lo tzatzir masa mi batechem b'yoyim ha-shabbos, b'shabbos and b'yontav loy. Sounds like b'yontav, but there's no reason for so. So that was the original pshat in the Gemara in Beit. So then the Gemara rejects that's not correct. It cannot be. Everybody agrees there is an Isra of Hoitzah on Yontav, and the machlek is b'shabbos still, is what he say mitoich or not. Then you have the three versions of what mitoch means. Rabbeinu Chananel says mitoch is only for makam mitzvah, the tina lamula in the sefer Torah likris by, in the lulav latzis by, and the other pshatim say even tina letayel. And Rashi learns mikra din derais even shalot tzarach klal. You're crossing off malachas on the list. The list is going to be shorter on yontav than it's going to be on much shorter on yontav than it is on Shabbos. Okay, three sheets is how to understand the din of mitoch on the level of derais. Then there's a Mishnah later in Beitza where there's a machlokes b'sham and b'sil. Is a person permitted to heat up water to bathe pan of yad v'raglav? Is that permissible or not? Or is a person permitted? Is a person permitted? To make a fire to do avara, he's not striking a match. There is already a fire. He's going to cause extra fuel to catch fire to warm his body. Is that permissible or not? So Bisham is saying not allowed to. Bisham say that you are allowed to. So there's a long Rashba on that Mishnah. I think the Mishnah is Dafchav base. So long Rashba, unusually long. So the one pshat is that this is the machlekes Bisham and Bisham l'shitasam. What do you say mitoich? That according to Bishilol, we allow mitoich. So it's just like making a fire, the tzarcha chal nefesh is mutter. So to make a fire to keep the body warm is also mutter. Tzarcha yom ksas is mutter. And just like to heat up, just like to cook water, to drink it is mutter. So to cook water, to wash panu yod v'raglov, would also be mutter. Tzarcha yom ksas is mutter. The other pshat, so in other words, both the Beisilal and the Beishamai, the definition of Berchav Nefesh is eating food. And then the other pshat in the Rashba is no, that gufa is the machlokes Beisham and Beisilal. That Beishamai hold, it's only called Berchav Nefesh if you're going to eat the food. Beisilal say, any hanoas haguf is considered Berchav Nefesh. So when Beisilal permit you to make a fire to keep the body warm, or they permit you to heat up water to wash pani or the belagor, that's hanoas haguf. So we still hold that's not the shitosim that they hold from mitoich. That's even better than mitoich. That's mitam echal nefesh mamish. That's considered mamish echal nefesh. The Rashba quotes that the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah writes that pshat, that this machlokes on daf chav beis between Mishami and Bisil achlekes in the definition of eichel nefesh. Not that it's lishitosim, and b'sila lishitosim that they believe in mitoich. No, this is better than mitoich. Even if you all like the raiva, the mitoich has a limitation of levadoi, only if it's eif shalas and bod yom, but this would be considered eichel nefesh mamish, and even if it was eif shalas and bod yom, would be mutal.
Isn't that a little bit like the ground on Shitasa, right? That he held Mito for so limited, so to get more expansive pattern, you'd have to ground on the path to hold that way.
The Rama writes Mito only by two malochas, only by Hotsu of Avorim. It's very difficult. Agamara talks about by Chabura. Chabura, according to the Ramam, is a malocha of Dosh. And still the Gemara says, Mutal libo b'sula b'tchila b'yanta because of mitoich. So you see that it applies. It's not hoitzah and it's not havar. It's some other kind of a malacha. And the Gemara talks about mitoich by netilas and shama, by shechting karbonis nedove on yanta. If you're not allowed to, you're only allowed to shech karbonis on Shabbos if it's karbon shek zmana kavua. And Yontif also has to be a Korban Shem Zmana Kavua, but the definition of Zmana Kavua is a little more relaxed. On Shabbos, the definition of Zmana Kavua means if it'll be over Yom a bottle of Korban, the Tminimum Mesofim. If you don't bring it today, you're going to lose your opportunity to bring it, so that's Decha Shabbos. And on Yontif, even if you can bring it tomorrow, but it's restricted, you can only bring it within the next 7 days. Let's say the Shalmei Simcha, Shalmei Chagiga. So that's Bisilul Hole, that's Decha Yanta, because that's called Zmana Kavua. Why is it Zmana Kavua? Because you can only bring it for the duration of the 7 days of Yanta. Can't bring it after Yanta was over. So that's also called Zmana Kavua. Even though you could have avoided the whole thing, you could have brought in a Chalamai, but still, that's called Zmana Kavua with respect to Yanta. Yeah. So these Gemaras are against the Ramah. So the Gemara said, what if you're going to shech the Shalmei Nedova on Yanta? So the Gemara says, if you hold for Mitoich, then you won't be like it. What does it have to do with Mitoich? It's a Tzarech HaYom Tzas. What's a Tzarech HaYom Tzas? Sheloi Yehe Shulchan Chamalei V'Shulchan Rabach Rekom. That's what Tosis quotes from the Gemara, that Lashon. That it's not Bekavadik. I have so much to eat. I have a table full of food. And Beis HaMikdash, there are hardly any karbanos, because you can only bring Tamina Musafim, so the Mizbech is empty the whole day. And we are sitting and eating and drinking and we're partying and everybody, all the human beings have so much food on Yantav. So Shalai Heh Shulchan Chamalev Shulchan Rabach Rekam, Yantav is mamish empty. Lochem Elol HaGavoya, right? The Tosfos says that's an Issa Essay. That's an Issa Essay, so for that you wouldn't be like it. But there's an Issa Loises, and not to do a Maloch on Yontav, it's only Mutav for Eichel Nefesh. So this is not Eichel Nefesh, this is for the Karbonis on the Mizbeah. So according to Bisila, that you say Mitoch Shehutra, Letzorech Eichel Nefesh, Shehutra Nami, Letzorech Hayam Ktas, so this qualifies as Letzorech Hayam Ktas, namely Shalai Heh Shulchan Chamolei, Shulchan Rabach Rekom. So these Gemaras are against the Ramah. The Ramah restricts the Mitoch only to Haitzor Ba'avor, that's very difficult, it's against the Gemaras. So the Netziv says the Rambam somehow held like the Gemara's Havaminus, that it says Lo Sevaresh B'chol Mosh V'Sechem B'Yoyim HaShabbos. Sounds like B'Shabbos En B'Yom Tefloy. Avor is Mutra En Yom Tef. Then the other pasuk Lo Seitziyom Masim B'Batechem B'Yoyim HaShabbos. B'Shabbos En B'Yom Tefloy. That Yom Tef you're allowed to carry. So the Rambam understood within Beis Hillel the only same Mitoich in these two cases that these two are crossed off from the list. The list on Yontav only consists of 37 malachas, two are crossed off. Strange. Otsua Babar crossed off on Yontav. The Gemara had a whole discussion when they had the original suggestion in the Gemara and Beitza in the first pairing that maybe the reason for Beis Hillel that it's permissible lehotzi es hatinek ves hasefer ves halulav is because Beis Hillel don't believe in Haitzor an Yontav, Haitzor is Mutar an Yontav. So the Gemara used the Lashon, Erev Haitzor l'Shabbos v'ein Erev Haitzor l'Yontav. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it's not correct, that Yesh Erev Haitzor l'Yontav. There is a din of Haitzor an Yontav, there is a din of Erev an Yontav as well. What Erev are you talking about? What Erev can you be talking about over here? if Beis Hillel say that Hoysa is mutter l'tzarach hayom k'tzas, so what do you need an era for? So whatever you need, you're allowed to carry on Yom Tov. So what kind of an era are they talking about? Poshep Shad talking about a Ruvi Chaseris. So Tesis raises a possibility. Maybe the Gemara is talking about, what do they say? This is says maybe it's talking about Eruv Tumen. Maybe it's talking about Eruv Tumen. So it says, how can it be talking about Eruv Tumen? It doesn't fit in. Erev Haitzah L'Shabbos Ve'ein Erev Haitzah L'Yontif. There's no Din Tumen on Yontif. That's what it means. It doesn't make sense. They wanted to say, based on the Mishnah, that Haitzah is Mutar on Yontif. They still say you're allowed to carry on Yontif. The Tinuk and the Sefer and the Lulav. So the Gemara says, why? Because ein erev haitzah liyantif. Erev etchumen is not needed. What they mix in to go chutz letchum? What is the connection between going chutz letchum? So Tosfos didn't think that was correct at all. What's the alternative? How then can you learn erev haitzah? Erev means erev v'chatzeres, that you're not allowed to carry on yantif. Only mutter to carry if it's tzarach hayom k'tzas. Shalom, the Tzarcha Yom Tzas is an Issa Deraisi, not allowed to carry on Yontif. But there is a din of Eruv Chatzeres. Yes, so what do you need Eruv Chatzeres for? If it's mutter to carry, if it's Tzarcha Yom Tzas. So some Rishonim answer, yeah, it's mutter to carry. If you make an Eruv Chatzeres, mutter to carry even Shalom, the Tzarcha Klal. So why should the guy do that? Why should he do that? So some Rishonim Taka say in Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Kevega quotes the Ritva, says like that, that you when you make an Erev Chatzeres to be allowed to carry in an apartment building, it only helps for Shabbos, it doesn't help for Yontif. Because for Yontif, if it's Letzarech Yom Tzah, so it's Mutter without an Erev. And for the Shalom Letzarech Klal, so why should they make an Erev Chatzeres to permit people to carry from one apartment to the other? Shalom Letzarech Klal. What's the necessity to have such a hetter? Yeah, but we assume not so. We assume when you make the Eruv Chatzeres for the apartment building, so you say this should, you want it to last from Pesach to Pesach, so you say this Eruv Chatzeres should permit us to carry on Shabbos, on Yontif, on Yom Kippur. We do make the Eruv Chatzeres for Yontif, even though it means that you're carrying Shalom Letzarech Klal.
What about a case where the Friday Mabel Machlaikas, if one can take a key out Yontif, just
to
open this door, just needs the key to make sure people don't steal anything from him. Yeah. That's the case where Mitov may not apply, because under Tzairik,
he still needs the key to open his door. Still wants the, still needs it, he still doesn't want Gazlamin to come into his. In such a case, it makes sense to say that you have an Eruvi Chatzeres.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Yeah, there are probably a lot of cases like that. Yeah. Tosfos here raises an issue. The Gemara in the beginning of Psachim proves that Ach Bayom Rishon Tashbis Sar Mi Batechem doesn't refer to the first day of Pesach, refers to Erev Pesach. How do you know? So Rabbi Akiva proves it because Rabbi Akiva obviously thinks like the Tana Reb Yuda. And he says, to burn anything is a malocha on Yom Tov. So how can you say, how can the Chumash say that you have to burn it on the day? So must mean, the Yomarish means on Erev Pesach. So the Gemara says, Shema minon b'de Rabbi Akiva tlas. Rabbi Akiva's proof, that the way he proved that it must be Erev Yontif, you see that he holds a few assumptions. Number one, he holds Ein b'yachometz ela b'sreifa. Number two, he thinks that there's no din of mitoich. If there would have been a din, if he would have agreed that Beis Hillel disagreed with Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel subscribed to the din of mitoich, mitoch shehutra, Havara l'tzarech utenam mishalot l'tzarech oichal nefesh, as long as it's tzarech hayam k'tzas, so to burn the chometz on the first day Pesach would have been considered a mitoich, a heter of mitoich. That would have been muta mita mitoich. So the Tana Reb Akiva, who proves that Ach B'Yom Rishon Tashbisu refers to Erev Pesach, obviously assumes Emer Chomes al Misreifa, and he assumes that there's no din amitoich. Yeah, but we paskin that there is a din amitoich. So Tosis is bothered with the kasha. The Gemara says in the beginning of Pesachim, in the middle of Pesach, Hamotzi Chomets betoch Pesach. He finds chametz in the apartment. He was betting chametz on Erev Pesach. He didn't find anything. And then in the middle of Pesach, he finds chametz. So the Gemara says, "Koyf all of a sakli." He should hide it, that he shouldn't see it on Yontif. And then on Chol HaMoed, he should destroy it. So Tosis says to Kasha, why is he not permitted to destroy it on Yontif? We do subscribe to the rule of Mitoich. So since there is a din, since there is a mitzvah of Tashbisa to burn the chametz, so why shouldn't he be permitted to do the malacha on Yontif of burning it? Why does he have to wait till Chol HaMoed? Why does he have to be koyf all of a sakli? Mitoich should permit me to burn it on Yontif. So Tosis first deals with Rashi's answer on the Kasha. They're not happy with Rashi. Rashi on that Gemara, Psochim, asks the Kasha and he gives a teretz. He says, we're talking about a situation where the fellow was Mevatel L'chometz on Erev Pesach. He did Bedikas Chometz, then he was Mevatel L'chometz. Mevatel L'chometz amin HaTorah bebitul bi'al masagi. So there's no need to burn the chametz, but mid the rabbanon you're not supposed to rely on bittul. If you have a whole box of cookies, mid the Torah it's good bittul. Mid the rabbanon you shouldn't rely on bittul. So Rashi answers: since the whole mitzvah of destroying the chametz after bittul is only a mitzvah mid the rabbanon, so you have no right to say mitoch shehutra avor letzorach uchanami letzorach hayom ktsas. A tzorach hayom ktsas has to be a tzorach mitzvah derais. Tzorach mitzvah the rabbanon doesn't count. So Tosis is not happy with that pshat. Shagazar picks up on the Rashi and he thinks we should be choshish for Rashi Shita. So then he says, let's say a person wants to carry his machzah to shul. What does he need the machzah for? On Yontif. Harashani Yom Kippur. Or Yom Eftayim. What does he need the machzah for? Halal appears in the regular siddur. And the tefillos for Yontif appear in the regular siddur. You don't have the marovis. You don't have the piyutim. No, you can live without the piyutim. Piyutim are less than a din derabbanan. That's only a minig. So if one feels that he ought to be machmer for Shitas Rashi, that you're not permitted to do a malacha in order to fulfill a mitzvah derabbanan, has to be davka mitzvah deraisa, and be a chometz after bittul is only a mitzvah derabbanan, there's no head to mitoich on that. So kavachem is a head to mitoich. To do a malach in order to fulfill a minig. So the minig, so the shag, according to the Shagzai, you're not allowed to take a machzah to shul on Yantah. So that's what the Achrayim say. The minig o'ilam doesn't necessarily, the minig o'ilam is that everybody carries a machzah to shul on Yantah. The minig o'ilam is a lot of people carry machzah to shul on Yom Kippur also. They don't know, you're not allowed to carry on Yom Kippur, but that's a minig betoist. But the fact the minig, even religious Jews, carry a machzah to shul on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Tov, Mishalosh Shigalim, so that's from religious Jews. So the Shari Tshuva next to the Beheita writes, it doesn't necessarily indicate that we haven't accepted the Shagas Aryeh, because we happen to assume, Ein lanu b'shus haram deraisa b'zman hazeh, that we don't really have any b'shus haram deraisa, you don't have Shishim Ribo. The little villages, they're not talking about New York City, the little villages. So you're just talking about Hoitzo and the Carmelis, so the whole Isra Hoitzo is only Midirabbanon. So to fulfill mitzvah Midirabbanon, like burning the chametz after having been Mevatlet, that you would permit. To fulfill a mitzvah Midirabbanon by violating a Melocha Midirabbanon, that you would permit. Yeah.
But the Rashi,
isn't
that off the list altogether?
Minatora, it's crossed off the list, Lagamra, yeah. But the Rabbanan Rashi also agrees that they're not. Rashi holds even cooking food, mamish. Rashi interprets in several Mishnais in Beitzah scattered throughout the whole Masichta like that, that you're not allowed to do Eichel Nefesh Mamish on Yontif, whenever it would have tasted the same if you would have done it on Erev Yontif. Let's say you could have cooked all the food and put it in the refrigerator, and then on Yontif to reheat it. So to reheat it, that's saying Bishol Acha Bishol. In our Torah, there's no Bishol. It's only on Shabbos, it's only Anisa de Rabbonon of HaChazor. According to Rashi, now that we have refrigerators, and most people can't really tell the difference between a freshly cooked chicken and a reheated chicken. So according to Rashi, you're not allowed to do the malacha of cooking food on Yontif, because it's Epshalasas from Bod Yom. Yeah, some Rishonim understood, and the Rav Yo understood, and Tosis argues with Rashi. So the Rav Yo understood in the Rashi that his limitation is min haTorah. Just like Reb Yudah gave a limitation levado, that Machshir Eichel Nefesh is only mutter if it's Eif Shalasas Mbod Yom, so that limitation of levado applies even to Eichel Nefesh also. You're not allowed to cook food on Yontif min haTorah unless it's Eif Shalasas Mbod Yom. Eif Shalasas Mbod Yom, it's also min haTorah. The Pnei Yeshua quotes his grandfather in the beginning of Shlema, that Rashi only meant it on a level of the Rabbanah. He never meant Minatara. The Rabbi Yo is a strange sheet.
How can you say Minatara if Mitoyev Rashi holds?
Right. That's your kasha. I don't know. Tosis has all of these kashas. So the Pnei Yeshua, Tosis and Beitza has all these kashas. So Pnei Yeshua tries to defend the Rashi. Eifel miyantav l'chol is a machlekes in Psochim. Machlekes Rabbi Rav Chizda, whether he's loika or not, whether he say hoyel. What do you mean eifel miyantav l'chol? According to Rashi, eifel is crossed off on the whole list. So why should it be awesome? Except because you have to give some kind of a teretz on Rashi. Pnei Yeshua gives up, he quotes the beginning of Shlomo, defended Rashi, shver teretz.
So why would Rashi say, if they're imposing an iser, they're abanon, that they have to have some sort of tzara. So wouldn't their abanon have the nachsh of their own, like mitzvot their abanon, according to Rashi?
The what?
So it seems strange that they're definitely burning it. It's definitely mutter midaraisa. So it says it's only mitzvot their abanon, so it's also midar abanon. Looks like
a
Pella. They weren't
matched there. I don't know. Good kasha. Yeah, so Tosis doesn't like the Rashi either. Tosis not happy with that Rashi. And the Shagazari thinks we can live with the Rashi. You ask how does it fit in with the rest of all the other Rashis, all the other things that Rashi said.
We don't always see him on that.
Pardon me?
We don't always see him on
that. Yeah. Okay. So the shaila is with that gemara. Why is hamotzi chametz bebeisa bepesach? Why does it say kol olam sakli? And after havdolam it's so yontem, then he should burn it. Why doesn't he burn it now? The gemara said if you subscribe to me, if you believe in mitoich, then you can burn the chametz on yontem itself. So Tosis quotes Rashi's answer. They don't like Rashi that burning the chametz after you ready were mevatel. There's only a mitzvah in the rabbanon. A mitzvah in the rabbanon is not called tzarach hayom ktas. Tosis doesn't like that. So Tosis and other Masechtos gives a different answer. If the din min haTorah would have been ach b'yom harishon tashbisu, that it's a mitzvah to burn the chametz on the first day Pesach, that would have been tzarach hayom ktsas to fulfill the mitzvah of b'yom harishon tashbisu. But now that we know that yom harishon means erev Pesach, and this is a mitzvah that's left over from erev Pesach, I find a box of Cheerios in the house on Chol HaMoed, on Yontif. Amotzi chametz bebeisa b'yontif. So now is not the Yikas mana mitzvah. Yikas mana mitzvah bir chametz is on Erev Pesach before Chatzos. Since it's not the Yikas man, that's not called Tzorech Hayom Ktsas, underlining the word Hayom. Mitoch shuhutru the Tzorech Ochanam shuhutru Rami, the Tzorech Hayom Ktsas has to be today's Tzorech. This is a leftover Tzorech from yesterday. Moshe l'madav adoyme. So Tosis writes in other Masechtos that Sreifas Noiser B'yontif is not allowed. You shouldn't leave over from the Korban Pesach L'sisim Men Adboika, but that's Men Adboika Beish Tisreifa. So the verse says L'sisim Men Adboika Tel Adboika Tezvov. If you left it over till the next day, then you burn it. But you don't burn it on Yontif. Why? But it's a mitzvah sayom. It should be muta because Mitech says no. The mitzvah to burn noiser is not a mitzvah miyuchad today on Yontif. If the pasuk would have meant by Yom Rishon Tashbisa, it would have been referring to a mitzvah to burn a chametz on the first day Pesach, then it would have been muta to do it. That's Tzorach HaYom Ktzas. That's today's mitzvah. But Tzreifas Noiser is not a Yontif Dika mitzvah. Whenever you happen to have Noiser, you burn the Noiser. Happens to be on Yontif, that's called Tzorach HaYom. That's not called Tzorach HaYom. Our Tosis gives a different answer. Our Tosis answers, Enoch and Ami, you're allowed to burn the chametz, but you're going to burn the carpet. The chametz is in the middle of the house. So tilta mukta is asar anyan. The chametz is muta, but tilta mukta is asar anyan. So that's a pella. Tilta mukta is asar anyan. The Tosis in the first perek in Beitza, and the first daf in Beitza, Tosis, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes that Tosis, that letzarech hachal nefesh, tilta mukta is muta. Let's say a person has an oven and he wants to bake something in the oven. And the oven has broken bricks and broken garbage, junk there, all kinds of junk. And you can't put a baking thing into the oven straight. So Tosis allows you to clear out the oven, mamish tilta mukta, or take out all the junk, in order to be able to bake food. So the tzorach ochal nefesh, we allow tilta mukta, so if you say, then the tzarach hayom tzas, if you believe in mitoich, so whatever is muta for the purpose of echon nefesh is muta for tzarach mitzvah sayoim, so it should be muta to be metaltal the mukta also on yontif in order to burn it in the backyard. So why do you say, no, it can't be metaltal the mukta? So the achronim worked very hard on this to try to understand the tesis over here. Why should that be so?
Shvera tesis. You might find it someplace, not on the carpet.
Yeah. And let's say you do find that in the carpet, then we assume you can kick mukta beregel. Mukta, we assume, is only also the tiltal biyadayim. If you knock it with your elbow, you kick it with your feet. The Mishnah Berurah assumes, based on the Magen Avraham, that there's no prohibition of tiltal mukta. The Chazon Ish disagrees. He holds that there is it, and he said tiltal mukta. But most people follow the Mishnah Berurah. So then it would be mutataka to burn it on Yom Tov. So he says the whole impediment is the tilta mukta issue. So even though tilta mukta is muta, but tilta mukta is not muta for the purpose of fulfilling a mitzvah. You don't say mitoich on this. So Shaila, why not? Okay, maybe we'll stop here. After Mincha, I'm supposed to be giving a shiur on Inyoni Pur downstairs in the Beis Medrash. If I'll be able to.
Everybody needs a maturity to share.
Maybe they have a loudspeaker. What?